بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد نجينا بني إسرائيل من العذاب المهين من فرعون إنه كان عاليا من المسرفين صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, we are already in the year 1444 after Hijrah. In other words, when the Hijrah of Rasulullah Sahaba took place, or rather when the command had come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers to leave Makkah and now go to Madinah Munawwara and establish Darul Islam in Madinah Munawwara, because they were being persecuted, tortured, tormented in Makkah Mukarrama. It became very difficult to practice on deen and iman, and Allah had now commanded them to go to Madinah Munawwara. And there is great details in how the hijrah took place. Rasulullah ﷺ himself left in Rabiul Awwal and he reached Madinah Munawwara in Rabiul Awwal. Prior to that, he had commanded the Sahaba to start leaving Makkah. Initially, there were a handful of those Sahaba who left secretly. Then came Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Very courageously he left. Within approximately another 20 of them had gone in that group. And like that, the Sahaba started leaving Makkah until Rasulullah then left from Makkah to Madinah Munawwara. Now it is important that this hijrah, there is great significance in this, that the Islamic calendar starts from the month of Muharram. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, when he was deputed as a governor, and then he would receive commandments, guidelines from Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who was the Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time. So sometimes a letter would arrive, and then after that another letter. There was some confusion as to which letter was written first by Umar radiallahu anhu and which came after that. There was no date on those letters. So sometimes a command could be abrogated, or there may be a change in direction. So he was not sure, and therefore he asked Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala to fix some type of date that will make it easy for them to then follow the guidelines that Amir al-Mu'minin will give. Umar radiallahu ta'ala made mashwara with Sahaba, again a very long story, and finally they decided that this event of the Hijrah is a very significant event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It became the distinguishing factor between haq and batil, kufr and iman. And therefore this was accepted unanimously by all the Sahaba. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu also present, he also accepted this view. And the Islamic calendar began from that Muharram. So now we are 1444 years later. That's why we say 1444 AH. AH means after the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So time elapses. And we can see in our days how fast, how rapid time is moving. As far as the English year is concerned, already half the year is gone. Or more than half the year. Islamic year has started. Muharram has already started. The 10th has already come. Before we know it, Muharram will pass. Safar, Rabiul Awwal. Time is moving rapidly. Ulama have explained like a block of ice, very silently, quietly, and it is moving away, melting away. There was a king who told his minister, to engrave such a statement on his ring. In the past, people would have some things engraved on the rings, which they would take a lesson from. Some person had written kafa bil mawti wa'idha, that death is a sufficient admonishment for a person. So each time he looks at that, he thinks of maut. Somebody had written about the tongue, jirmuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. The tongue is small, but the sin is very, very grave. So like that, people had things written, engraved on the ring. So he told his minister, that get something engraved, that when I look at it and I'm sad, then I can become happy. So then the minister engraves on it, هذا الوقت سيمضي. This is time, and time will elapse. Time does not wait for any person. The condition of also a person is suffering or going through some depression, some grief, some hardship. And then there comes a time when that hardship also goes away. And the time also elapses. Similarly, a person is very happy, and sometimes the happiness also goes away. In other words, it's not perpetual. Time is always against us. We're always fighting for time. Now you and I have to ask ourselves that Allah has given us this time, and we are all going through this examination, and Allah is the examiner, and Allah knows our result before He even created us, but He gives us a fair chance so that we don't argue against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that You created me, You didn't give me a fair chance in this world to live and prove myself. Hence Allah has sent us into this world, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to see which one of you is best in actions. And this is what Allah wants from us. Remember, Allah does not want us to be seasonal Muslims. Sometimes some incident, some event, then suddenly we become very, very pious and start doing some ibadah. Of course, we should try our level best. And every moment in our life, every moment of our lives is an injunction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to abide by. We have to bring this into our lives. There are prohibitions that Allah has laid down which we have to refrain from. It's not only on certain times that suddenly now we try to just fulfill some commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sit back, we relax. We don't have the time to even make the time to learn deen. What is the sharia? What are the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whatever little we learned in the past, we just try to suffice on that. How often we find that we are doing things which is totally against sharia. Sometimes we feel that I'm doing something right, and that action of mine, perhaps I've donated to some organization, some masjid, some madrasa, some darul uloom, and I've done my share, and now my salvation is secured for me for the akhirah. Allah alone knows best which action He will accept, which one He rejects. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down some principles of sharia. Rasulullah SAW practically demonstrated to us, this is our deen. He lived this deen. Sahaba followed him, emulated the life of Rasulullah SAW. And Allah showed them, and Allah mentioned in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allah was pleased with them. They were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They practiced on this deen. They went through the challenges they had to go through for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't just on certain occasions, suddenly a sahabi felt, let me practice on some aspect of deen. No. That is why Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafa. O believers, enter into Islam completely, wholly. We pick and choose. Sometimes we do some things. Many times we forget things, or we are totally indifferent towards important aspects of deen. There was a person by the name of Asma'i, rahmatullahi alayhi. Asma'i was a linguistic, master in the Arabic language. And when he came to compiling words in Arabic, like how we have in the dictionary, Asma'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, was known for that. So he says, he was watching one day, he sees a young girl carrying a basket on her head with some pomegranates there. She's walking past. His eyes fell on this pomegranate, and suddenly he sees a man comes behind. From behind, he takes his hand, puts it into the basket, and steals one pomegranate, and he disappears. Ismail rahmatullah alayhi becomes angry, perturbed. He follows this man to see what is he up to. And then he goes and he sees this man is giving a poor person, a beggar on the street, this pomegranate. Ismail goes to him and tells him, "Bhai, what have you done?" He says, "What have I done?" He says, "You took this pomegranate from an innocent young girl. It belonged to her, it wasn't yours. And now you go and give it to this poor person." He says, "Well, I'm making some tijarat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing some deal with Allah." He says, "What deal are you doing? What tijarat are you talking about?" He says, "See, I stole that one pomegranate. So there's one sin. I committed one guna. And Allah records, when a person does one sin, Allah records only one sin against him. But then I went and gave the poor person, and a person who does one good deed, Allah multiplies it by 10. So I got 10 sawab, minus one sin, I still got 9 sawab by me." Asma'i rahmatullah replies to him. He says, "Bhai, you stole that pomegranate. In Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiban. Allah is pure. Allah accepts only that which is pure. What you stole was haram. Now you give haram wealth to the poor, there's no sawab for that." Put ourselves in that situation. How often we do things like this? We haven't fulfilled the rights of so many people. We have, in inverted commas, stolen wealth, inheritance, properties. We have cheated our customers. We have deceived them. We have indulged in fraudulent dealings. We have harmed so many people. And then on the other side, we try and do a good thing, a good deed. Understand the Sharia. We are fighting against time. Life doesn't wait for any person. When mort strikes, there's the end. Before all that happens, before there is regret for us in the qabr, on the day of qiyamah, yawm al-hasra, idh qudhiya al-amr, when the matter will be decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ahkamul hakimin, Allah's decision is final, most just. Allah doesn't make zulm upon any person. A single atom of good deed you do in this world, Allah will give it to you in the hereafter. And one bad deed a person does, you will see it in the hereafter. So Allah is absolutely just. He wants us to live this pure life. We make sins, Allah has kept the doors of tawbah open for us. We must make amends immediately. Don't procrastinate, don't delay. Allah loves us. Allah wants to forgive us. Allah has got the doors open for us. So all of us should make this concerted effort. Deep down, we must make this firm intention now, this resolution, that, "Ya Allah, you guide me. Every step I take towards you now, Allah, in my business dealings, in my family, my social dealings, my interaction with people, with family members, with friends, with neighbors, in the business, at school, at varsity, at the madrasa, in the masjid, outside the masjid, when I'm traveling overseas, when I'm gone abroad, wherever I am, Ya Allah, help me to be a genuine, pious believer. Ya Allah, when I falter, then Allah, you guide me. So that when I come to you, Allah, I've got good deeds on my record." How happy a person will get on the day of Qiyamah when your book of deeds is given to you in your right hand. And if the book of deeds is given to your left hand or behind you, that's a sign that you have failed. Ya Allah, make us pass with flying colors in the hereafter. My respected brothers and elders, on Friday we heard a detailed talk on Ashura, the Fada'il, the virtues. And Alhamdulillah, I think with the social media, the WhatsApp, and all the articles that are, and pamphlets that we see from the different organizations, all of us know the virtues and the importance and significance of the day of Ashura. Tomorrow, I mean already we have started from Maghrib time, the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram has already begun. The common question, "Malana, when is the iftar? Today is it past that you feed the family or tomorrow?" So we only ask those questions. And how many is fasting? We have to keep 2 or 1. We look for easy way out. The fasting of Muharram was compulsory before the fasting of Ramadan. Rasulullah was keeping the day of Ashura fast. Sahaba would keep. It was compulsory until Ramadan fast came. Then that abrogated the compulsory nature of Ashura, it then no longer became farz. Then it became optional. But very important. A person who fasts on the day of Ashura, yukaffir sanat al-madiyah, all the previous years, minor sins are all forgiven. Rasulullah found out that the Yahud were also fasting on the 10th of Muharram, and he inquired of them that why were they fasting. They said because it was the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from the clutches of Fir'aun. Rasulullah hears that, he says, Nahnu ahaqqu wa awla bi Musa minkum. We are more deserving, we are more closer to Musa alayhi salam than you people are. They had kept it shukran, out of gratitude. So Rasulullah told the Sahaba, if I'm living, the in baqitu ila qabrin al-asumanna tasi'ah. If I'm living the following year, I will also keep the 9th. Ulama mentioned, so you can keep 9th and 10th, like 9th already passed, Monday, and now Tuesday is the 10th. Or you can keep on Tuesday and Wednesday, in other words, 10th and 11th. We add one more fast to it, just to be making mukhalafat of the Yahud. Even in the our ibadat, we make mukhalafat, we oppose the Yahud and Nasara. Yes, as far as spending freely, the hadith of Rasulullah said, Man wassa'a ala iyalihi, whoever makes tawsi', whoever expends his spending on his family. So whatever you are normally giving, whatever allowance you are giving your family, your children, whatever you're giving, clothing, food, whatever it is, then you spend a little bit more extra, then Allah will give you barakah for the entire year. And this has been tried and tested by many scholars of the past and present, and they have found barakah in their lives. So yes, you spend extra than normal. Your wife wants that nice pair of shoes. No, don't be miserly. Give her that little bit extra. Of course, you don't have to be exorbitant and beyond your means. Now you're going to take a loan just to get some barakah. No. Everything, there is balance in Sharia. There's i'tidal. Rasulullah showed us a beautiful path, a moderate way of living. So yes, you will spend extra on your family, your wife, your children, your parents. Spend extra on them on the day of Ashura, which has already begun from Maghrib time. You will spend now, tomorrow, whatever it is. Then Allah will make tawsi', Allah will give you plentiful in your wealth. In other words, Allah will give you barakah. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was saved from the clutches of Fir'aun. Now the story of Fir'aun, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is replete in the Quran and Majid. Various surahs and ayat, you find verses regarding Fir'aun, regarding Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the entire incident of Bani Israel. All this was revealed so that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who went through great sacrifice, struggle amongst the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen, and the kuffar who were living at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled Rasulullah sallam repeatedly. And there are great lessons for all of us. For all of us. Now we understand. And let's look at the few lessons. Inshallah, the talk is not going to be long. It's going to be a short talk, inshallah. I said, inshallah. So, these are important lessons. We only hear it now and then. It's not just to hear a bayan and it's all over. We have to sit and reflect. We don't reflect. And if you reflect and you just think, okay, Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, what is the story? Allah shows us in the entire story of Fir'aun, Allah shows the decline of an arrogant ruler, an oppressive ruler, how Allah crumbled him into pieces. So his whole dynasty, which he was so proud about, Fir'aun displayed arrogance, insolence. Fir'aun was a very haughty person, very proud. He was so proud and so arrogant that he actually claimed divinity. He says, Ana rabbukumul a'la. I am your mighty Lord. Ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. I don't know of any other Allah or any other deity for you besides me. Me, ana, I. And he persecuted the Bani Israel. He killed not just hundreds, but thousands of young, innocent babies, boys who were born, males. He killed them because of a dream that he had seen. And the interpretation was that your kingdom will be taken away and you'll be overthrown by a person from the Bani Israel. So he was so merciless. And we see many Fir'auns today also. Fara'een in Arabic. Plural of Fir'aun. But the point and lesson is, we must make sure that we don't have any Fir'auniyat in ourselves.
when there's misuse or abuse of power, authority. In a working place, at home, when the husband enters his home, is the wife and are the children trembling in front of the father and the wife before her husband? Is he showing that tahammul in him, that tawadu, that humility, that smile? When he enters his workplace, are all the staff and all the workers shaking in front of him? So we have to see, have we got this type of authority that we are misusing or abusing? Are we also behaving like something like how Fir'aun behaved? It is easy to point fingers, and of course, rightfully, at there's so many oppressive people in the world. But is there any zulm from my part to my subordinates, to the people around me, the people under me, whether I'm in a school or a college, in my profession, when I'm interacting with people? We have to check, we have to reflect. That is why Allah has got these verses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that this man who claimed divinity, they claimed the day when Allah drowned him. And he was boastful of the rivers that flowed beneath his palace. Allah drowned him in a very humiliating manner. And at that time now he begins to bring a so-called iman. Now when he saw reality, when he saw the angels of azab coming, and he saw how useless he was. He was an insignificant speck, as we say. Feeble little creature before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was all powerful, who is almighty, all powerful. He rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He claimed to be his supreme Lord. Imagine challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah was so tolerant, so tolerant, so tolerant. That even for a person like Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gave him many opportunities and chances for him to make amends. Allah never destroyed him the moment he claimed to be Allah. In fact, Allah sends Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun, the brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, both of you go to Fir'aun and invite him towards my oneness. First it was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given his order. Then he said, "Oh Allah, ujdud bihi azri, I need some strength. Send Harun with me." Both are Nabis, both were gone. And Allah addresses these two Nabis of Allah. Musa alayhi salam was Kalimullah. He enjoyed a very, very, very close position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلَ الْلَيِّنَا. You're going to give da'wah to Fir'aun, but both of you speak to him in a soft manner. Fir'aun, the man who is claiming to be Allah, he's an oppressive ruler, killed thousands of people, innocent babies. Allah still tells them, don't be harsh to Fir'aun when you're giving, presenting my oneness, iman, tawheed. Layyin, qawla layyina. Softly, kindly, politely. And these are lessons for all of us. Lessons for all, the way we interact with people. We have become so judgmental, so judgmental. We just point fingers, we just pass words against people without even pondering, who am I? Who am I? Who has made me the judge? Who has given me that position, authority? Allah shows us, go and talk to Fir'aun in a kind way. With all that, still, Fir'aun did not accept iman. And so when this Fir'aun was so tyrannical, that when Asiya, his wife, brought iman, she brought iman in Allah, she believed in Musa alayhi salam as the Nabi of Allah, Fir'aun comes to know, he warns her, she does not renounce her deen. She is steadfast. Shows istiqamah. Fir'aun gets his men to peg her on the wall. She is nailed. At that moment, he bears that pain. رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَاللَّهِ بِلَّ حَوْصَمِي جَنَّةِ. And she passes this acid test of iman, faith. She dies with iman. The lady who used to comb the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun, in Arabic we call her Mashita, the one who combs. Those royal people used to have people to just comb the hairs of the women folk. So this Mashita, she's combing the hair of one of the daughters of Fir'aun, and suddenly her comb slips from her hands. So she picks it up and she takes the name of Allah. The daughter of Fir'aun said, who's that? So then she says, Allah, and she explained to her who is Allah. So she goes and complains to her father about this woman, Mashita, the one who was combing her hair. Fir'aun summons her. She's got two little children. Fir'aun tells her that I will kill you. She also remains steadfast. He is so merciless. He takes her and her two children in a boiling cauldron. He burns them to death. On Mi'raj, when Rasulullah is going on Mi'raj, and he goes past an area where he can, there's a very nice fragrant smell coming. And he asks Jibreel, what is this? He says, this is from the qabr of the Mashita of Fir'aun and her children. Allah showed us in the Quran, those who are steadfast on iman, could not follow the nafs and desires and shaitan. Allah gave them a beautiful mawt, and in the akhirah they are enjoying themselves. When Fir'aun dies, he says, Amantu bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa. I bring iman in the Rabb of Harun and Musa. He saw reality. It was too late. Allah addresses him, Al-an, now. So before mawt comes to us, before Sakrat comes to us, then we begin to make amends and make tawbah, it is too late. In Allah Azza wa Jalla yaqbalu tawbat al-abdi ma lam yugharghir. As long as gharghara, Sakrat, there is no sound in the throat when the person's ruh is coming out. When the sound is not, comes and the ruh is being extracted at that time, khalas. Doors of iman are closed, doors of tawbah are closed. When mawt will come, when that will happen, nobody knows. Time will pass. Mawt will strike. If we knew we have another 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, then we could so-called to say, okay, I'll make tawbah then, before I pass away. Nobody knows when he's going to pass away. Therefore, intelligence demands from us that we should start preparing seriously for mawt. We can see the conditions in the entire world. And we like current news also. And this is happening in the world and that's happening. But what is the purpose? Is to take heed, take lessons. We must not fall victims as those people of the past, those nations of the past who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants us to have a pure life. Allah is so kind, that Allah creates all these occasions of big night and a big day so that we can make tawbah istighfar. So on the day of Ashura, there's no special dua to be made. Many books will say this dua, that dua. You make dua to Allah. Cry your heart out. It is a day of tawbah, istighfar. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was also saved from the floods on this day. So we make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got hajat and needs. Talk to Allah ta'ala. Oh Allah, I've got this problem. I've got that problem. Allah, you fulfill my problem. But mostly, oh Allah, help me to become your true lover. Help me to become a true lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Whilst we are making dua for us, make dua for the entire Ummah. We know what's happening in Palestine. It's not something new. It's happening for years. And remember, before Qiyamah, the central point of all activities then will be there, Palestine, Baitul Maqdis, where Dajjal will come, and that's where he'll be killed, etc. We have read in the history. So we have to make a lot of dua, and the iman is strong. They are steadfast on deen. It pains us to see masoom children's lives just been taken that. And nobody bothers. But we have iman in our heart and we feel it. And likewise, so many other people in the world. Islam is such a beautiful religion. When people who are non-Muslims and when they accept Islam and they get hidayat and they cling onto iman in deen. They begin to enjoy the Quran and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know the past they lived, the morbid past they lived. They saw they couldn't get any guidance, any light and any truth. And now when they saw truth, and they came out of zulumat into nur, out of darkness to light, they appreciated it. Many of us, our parents were Muslim, mashallah, we grew up in a Muslim home, make shukr to Allah ta'ala. We make shukr to Allah ta'ala. Allah, you gave us hidayat. Allah, do not take away this hidayat from us. So we have to be concerned about ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, our progeny. So in essence, respected brothers and elders, we must make sure we have good qualities in our life, not have arrogance and pride. Al-kibru batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. What is pride? Where haqq, the truth is shown to you, and you still reject it. Wa ghamtun nas, you think of people to be lower than you, inferior to you. Like how Fir'aun looked down upon Bani Israel. He treated them as slaves. He felt himself to be superior. That person who has an iota of pride shall not enter Jannah. Bayezid Bustami was once going somewhere, rahmatullah alayh. He had his jubbah, probably he is going for salah or for some bayan. And he's going past a very narrow gully, and there were puddles of water there and mud. And there was a dog coming from the other side. So he walked and the dog had to go into the water. And as he placed his foot in the water splashed. And it splashed on his clothes and he frowned. Allah actually gave the dog at that moment the ability to speak. You see, when the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a small mistake, they get admonished immediately. Allah does not tolerate a small mistake even from them. You and I make mistakes every day, big blunders. Nothing, we don't hear anybody telling us anything. And we just continue our lives like that. But the friends of Allah, immediate admonishment. So the dog then turned around to Bayezid Bustami. Oh Bayezid, I'm a little dog, I'm insignificant. And I had to splash his water and it fell onto your jubba. All you had to do was just wash off the stain. It was not napak even. You just had to wash the stain. But you thought low of me, being an animal, a creature, you thought low of me. That speck of pride that has come onto your heart, you wash it with the oceans of the world, it won't go away. Immediately, he became alarmed, he realized his mistake, he made tawbah immediately. مَنْ تَوَضُعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهِ. That person who has humility, for the sake of Allah, Allah will elevate him. The person who has arrogance and displays pride and haughtiness, then Allah will destroy him. If not immediately, remember Allah is not bound by time, but there comes the day when Allah will disgrace him, humiliate him. So this attitude that Fir'aun had, where he was a zalim, we must take this zulm out of our hearts, the pride, arrogance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once passing by a sahabi who was beating up his slaves. They had done something wrong. So he was lashing out at them. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately reprimanded him from behind. Ya Aba Mas'ud, what are you doing? Allah has got more power over you than you have over them. You are showing your authority. You are abusing your power. You are the master, that's the slave. You are beating them up in this way. Allah is the master of all masters. And his power is most great. He has got supreme power. Nobody is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has more power and Allah can take revenge on their behalf and Allah can destroy you. Immediately he stopped. These were sahaba. Immediately. He said, well, Ya Rasulullah, I set them free. Rasulullah said, لَوْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ لَلَفَحَتْكَ النَّارُ أَوْ لَمَسَّتْكَ النَّارُ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If you didn't do this, then the fire of Jahannam would have scorched you. Another incident, another person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, I've got slaves, I've got some servants. And sometimes they lie to me. They're disloyal to me. They make khiyanat. So I begin to whip them and lash them. Or I reprimand them. What will be my fate on the day of Qiyamah? Rasulullah explain, well, sometimes if you reprimanded them, and your reprimand was equal to the injustice they did, the disloyalty they did to you, then there won't be any sin against you, neither would you get any reward. And if you reprimanded them lesser than what wrong they did, there'll be some benefit for you, there'll be some sawab for you in the day of Qiyamah. But if you reprimanded them more than what they deserved, then uqtussa minka al-fadl, your sawab will be taken away from you and given to them. This man goes onto one corner and he begins to sob like a baby. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds him of the verse, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شِئَةٌ. That we will establish the scales of justice, adalat, on the day of Qiyamah. No soul should be oppressed. An amount of an atom even. No person will be oppressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. Allah is full of justice. Allah is adil. He's got adl in him. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. So even if it's a mustard seed, that amount of good you did, you'll get the reward. And that amount of bad, you'll be punished for it. Allah says, we are the best of reckoners. Our hisab kitab can never be faulted. Our hisab kitab is accurate, most accurate. And then he says, Ya Rasul, I have freed all of them. I'm making you witness, I have freed my slaves. So respected brothers and sisters, we're not asked now to free all our servants, and all we are asked to make sure that we don't oppress them, we don't make zulam upon them in any way. Let us be more kind and tolerant to them, to those who are under us. Display this good akhlaq in our marriages, at workplaces, wherever we are. And this is how deen will flourish. This is how we will see true barakah. And this is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. Allah doesn't want us from us to sit the entire day on the musalla and the tasbih and read every type of dhikr that we know and every type of wird. Allah wants us to be practical Muslims. There's time for salah, time for dhikr, time for your family, and how you should interact with people and display their good akhlaq. May Allah Ta'ala grant me, grant you, all of us, the tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu, laka shukru kulluhu. La nuhsi thanana alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا رحيم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين. يا الله grant us the barakat of the day of Ashura. يا الله, يا الله, your special mercies, يا الله, let it pour down upon us, my الله, our family members, my الله, our homes, our masajid, madaris, makatib, our workplaces, our entire towns and villages in our country and the entire globe, my الله, especially on every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, every believing ummati, my Allah, especially those, ya Allah, who are being mazloom, being oppressed, my Allah. Ya Allah, they are being persecuted, my Allah. Their homes are being bulldozed, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all of us, my Allah. Grant all of us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb. Ya Allah, give us a close proximity to you, my Allah. Make us your true lovers and lovers of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the haqiqat, the reality of what we are preaching and what we are saying, my Allah. Ya Allah, make the Quran come alive in our lives, my Allah. The sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make our tongues become moist in your dhikr, my Allah. In tilawat of Quran. Make us enjoy our sujood. Make us enjoy our salat. Make us enjoy our fasting, my Allah. Give us tawfiq, ya Allah, to keep this Ashura fast, my Allah. Ya Allah, and give us the barakat and blessing and reward of these Mubarak days and this and the ibadat during these days, my Allah. Ya Allah, guide the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Help the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, all those who are sitting here tonight and our mothers and sisters listening at home who have raised their hands at this very moment, my Allah. You are well aware of each person's need, my Allah. Ya Qadhi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi al-Baliyat, Ya Hal al-Mushkilat. Ya Allah, fulfill our hajat and needs, my Allah. Remove our difficulties, my Allah. Ya Allah, there's so many brothers and sisters who are not well. They're in hospitals or at home, my Allah. Ya Allah, some for long they are sick, my Allah. Ya Allah, some have to undergo some operation, my Allah. So many have got cancer, my Allah. Ya Allah, they have to go for chemotherapy, my Allah. Ya Allah, they're in pain, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove their pain, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant them shifa, my Allah. Grant all of us shifa, my Allah. Ya Allah, give them shifa kamil, ajil, mustaqir, daim. Allah, so many have left this world, my Allah. All the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus. Allah, make us live with iman, make us die with iman. Raise us in the day of qiyamah with iman. Allah, let maut come to us in Madina Sharif, my Allah. Grant us burial in jannatul baqi, my Allah. Grant us the shafaat intercession of Rasulullah, so some in the day of qiyamah. Allah, in the hawdi kuthur water from his mubarak hands, my Allah. Allah, make us enter jannat in the company of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without any reckoning, my Allah. Help us to cross Pul Sirat with the speed of lightning, my Allah. Ya Allah, when our a'mal be weighed, my Allah, let the good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, my Allah. Ya Allah, let there be no bad deeds, my Allah. Give us tawfiq of making tawbah and nasuha, my Allah. Protect all of us from the azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, give us halal and tayyib, rozi, my Allah. Make us use it in the correct way, my Allah. Ya Allah, make our children, our grandchildren, the coolness of our eyes, ya Allah. Make them excellent huffaz, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarrabin, maqbulin, bandaz, my Allah. Ya Allah, hazirin, ghaibin, sabki dua, qabool, farma. Rabbana, taqabbal minna, innaka anta sami'u al-alim. Watub alina, ya maulana, innaka anta at-tawwabu ar-rahim. Subhana rabbika, rabbil izzati, amma yasifun. Salamun al-mursaleen, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.